at another 4 feet and then down to the center wall of my home, and that's where I'm in. So it's about a total of about 80 feet of LMR 400 cable. And I've also made a break in the cable right before it comes into the house near the soffit. I put one of those lightning arresters in, they call them transit traps. And then I made a number 6 copper wire straight down from that into a new copper ground rod that I drove into the ground. So to hopefully that will stave off any lightning, because I actually did get hit by lightning on that house about, on the side of that house about 15 years ago. Over.
DC2WGB. Now, it sounds like you got a good setup. Yep, LMR 400, I use it myself. Very good, very reliable. At times, just makes great cable. Common, good antenna, but you got a dual-band antenna, but you have a single-band radio. Is that a VHF, UHF antenna that you have?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's made for 70 centimeter and 2 meter.
Well, sounds like you did it all right, for sure. And you say you're just a ham for what, a month, you said?
Kilo Delta 2, India Charlie Victor. Yes, I am just about 2 months now, a month and a half. I'm studying for my general now. I hopefully we'll take the general this Saturday and pass it, and I can play around in the HF arena. I heard that's a lot of fun. Over.
Yes, HF, boy, oh boy. You can, especially with your location, you probably do very well on there. And by the way, if you have a computer that you use, if you go on QRZ, look at my call sign, you'll be able to see the little lab that I have set up there. Got a couple of pictures there. KC2WGB.
Yeah, well, John has one of the biggest labs privately owned for ham radio operators. So he's extremely unique in this area. Can't pick you.
Thank you. John, I didn't get your call sign. Please do it phonetically. Thank you. And also, well, go ahead.
Kilo Charlie 2, Whiskey Golf Bravo.
And my Polish friend, your name and call sign, please. Thank you.
My name is Wesley, W-E-S-L-E-Y, like Wesley Snipes, but I'm not Snipes. Unfortunately, because I would be rich. And my call sign is November 2, X-ray Juliet November. N2XJN, November 2, X-ray Juliet November.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. If you look up my name in QRZ or the FCC thing, you'll see my name actually. The last name doesn't look Polish, it almost looks Italian, but it definitely hit. They didn't change it when they came over, so it's Sapeta, S-A-P-E-T-A, so it's very interesting.
Okay. There are a few guys with your present from those at the top and who are really willing to help. Well, we have a Dick. Dick is for 32 years running that show, no charge. And he's over 30 patent holder. The guy knows the best antennas. So if you have any questions about antennas, you can ask him. But we discuss different subjects. We have a science portion, usually at the end of the TechNet, if we have a time after space report. John would be able to give you more information about Paul and others. John?
Yeah, this repeater, if you listen to it, you're going to find a lot of great members. I think we have not quite 400 members, and a lot of professionals, and a lot of great people willing to help. So basically, this repeater, if you come on and ask a question any time of the day or night, usually get a response and sometimes an answer. So it's a good place to be.
Yeah. Some addition. You may hear Glenn, and he is a designing electronic equipment, boards, specializing in mostly transformers. So that's one of the scientific minds. Here, one of them is John, KG2WGB, you're talking to. There is also Eric. Eric is John. You can tell more.
To the W2VL repeater.
Yeah, Glenn is KC2QAQ. Dick is K2RIW. Eric, who I speak to all the time, trying to remember his call sign. Oh boy, I'll think of it.
Yeah, Eric is a radio engineer. Thanks to him, some of the big TV stations are able to function. So he's taking care of the technical part of it. Can
the surprise him is shop teachers. Yeah, that's what they used to call them, shop teachers. Remember that? I went to school for it, but then back in the late 70s when I started to look for jobs, it turned out that they kept, every time I was offered a job, they were dismantling the equipment, taking it apart, and like the program was being, you know, done away with, which is a shame, you know. So I decided not to go into it. I just went, got a job with IBM and stayed with them for many years on the technical side. And then what the Common Core curriculum education curriculum, I don't know if you've heard about that, what the federal takeover education, what it's doing to it, it's just horrendous. Over.
Yes, I've heard about Common Core. I think it's garbage junk. We have to get back to teaching our children basically the three R's. No, there are subjects that I had to take that they don't even teach today. You have things like, you know, solid geometry. You talk to a kid today, what is that? They have no idea. No complicated subjects are being taught. We are teaching children to be politically correct, and I really don't want to get into it because it really upsets me. I believe that's all garbage. We have to teach children skills that they need to get a job. And it seems that with Common Core and all of this political correctness and the billions of dollars we spend on education, where it goes, I know the teachers don't get it, and the children should be the brightest in the world, and they're not. So, yeah, I have a lot of issues with that.
Yeah, I don't know if you've probably heard the statistics about the average grades of the United States kids, you know, going down, they keep going down. And the interesting statistic is those grades started going down when the U.S. Department of Education was formed. So it's just a bunch of wasteful, dollar-sucking organization that doesn't take any care of anybody but themselves, in my opinion. Anyway, but you're right, we shouldn't do this too much because I can go off on this myself. Over.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I get wound up and I get out of control, and it's just very sad for the amount of dollars. And you're right about the government taking over education. Everything they take over basically fails. There are a few things they're running fairly well, but government is controlled by the people. The people have a lack of interest because they don't see the opportunities in America and they don't see the jobs. So they're losing interest, and that's a sad thing. And we can't teach children the correct history. It's revisionist history. I don't like that either. I mean, mistakes, of course, have to be corrected, but we are just leading them in the wrong direction, and I just find that very sad.
Yeah, I wonder, what is your occupation? You still work, or you retired? Something about you, if you don't mind. Address you.
John, I told you, let the gerbils rule and you'll see a complete turnaround. KD2CBB.
Leo, I bet you have friend Todd. How you doing tonight, Todd? This is Ken. We got John and Wesley on. Over.
Well, what, John? I told you the solution.
I was going to answer Wesley.
Oh, yeah, I was asking, are you still working? What is your occupation and so on at Richard?
Well, I decided not to teach. I went worked for IBM as a systems engineer, and then I left them, and then I had my own software company, kind of like a software implementation and design company for about 10 years, and now I am actually, believe it or not, working, helping out the government with different things. So, and it's all technology, all computers, software development, installation, networks. I've done everything, project management, technical side. So I've got like a diverse background. I'm still working.
Okay. Let me take the mic. Well, that would be my pleasure if you visit New York and visit me at my home. So I'm giving you my invitation. And you are Polish. I'm Polish roots. I was born in Poland. And we could have some talking. Apart from that, I have some junk. Over 400 instruments, mostly scientific in nature, actually all of them. And pretty much exotic lab. Back to you.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for the invitation. You are on Staten Island, is that right?
No, John is on Staten Island. I'm in Maspeth. Maspeth, Queens. Maspeth, Maspeth, Queens. Probably is going to take you 40 minutes.
Oh, yeah, I know Maspeth well. It's a lot of Polish people there, actually. I had some relatives that used to be there. But the big area, as you know, is Greenpoint, Brooklyn. That's where my grandparents settled when they migrated from Poland. So it's a very heavy Polish area also. Over.
Yeah, well, Greenpoint is about 7 minutes if there is no traffic from my location. I'm next to Ridgewood. Greenpoint is no longer Polish. Polish moved in thousands to Ridgewood as it's less expensive. And Maspeth is right across Metropolitan Avenue, is considered to be for more fortunate in life. Interesting.
I, by the way, I grew up on Queens, Long Island, Queens, Nassau, right on the border. And if you know where New High Park, Lower Park is, that's where I grew up. Over.
It's an expensive area. But you've been born here, so that's the difference. Back to you.
Yeah. Join the conversation, but you want to hand it over to Todd or John? Either one?
No, the way that we try to manage the conversation is that if somebody has something of interest or he's more knowledgeable in the subject, we don't have a problem that I'm not picking up the mic and others are talking or whatsoever. If tomorrow you have nothing, not much to do, I would be, or any other day, you know what I'm saying. Or tell me when you're going to be in New York, but do you?
Yeah, thank you very much. You are, if I look you up on QRZ, I assume that you got email there or whatever. I could send you an email, right?
Yes, you can send me email or just make sure that you have a right call sign. November to X-ray Juliet November, N2XJN.
Very good. I copied that. I'm all set with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Would be nice to have another Polish, especially you were working in a technical job in IBM. I have plenty of stuff to play with. Yeah, it would be nice. You still speak Polish?
I speak Wesley, but I can recognize when somebody is speaking the language and I can pull out a word here and there. But unfortunately, I could never have a conversation. You know, I know the usual Dachshund, Dovizhenya, you know, gently, stuff like that, but I don't know, you know, I just don't speak the language. Someday I'm taking one of those study courses, and I'm planning on going to Poland for World Youth Day. I don't know if you know that they're going to have World Youth Day. It's going to be in Krakow next, I think, 2017. So my wife and I are planning to go there.
Yes. Okay. Well, it'll be great. You could visit some. What areas in Poland you think you're gonna visit?
Well, definitely Krakow, because that's where the World Youth Day is gonna be. And after that, I don't know for sure. I really haven't made a plan. I could probably spend most of the time there because it's a week long, pilgrimage. So. I don't know, up to suggestions actually. I'll probably, I heard that, somebody told me that the English language is spoken pretty regularly over there, so I wouldn't have much of a problem.
Most of the young population speaks English very well, no problem. And Polish are pretty friendly to Americans, especially Polish American. So that's good. Krakow is beautiful country, beautiful city. Absolutely, I love it. I was raised and born in Kalisz, which is center of Poland, like geographical center of Poland. And then I lived there for quite a while before I migrated to United States. Yeah, accent. I still have an accent. Can't really speak English, so nobody can recognize me. It's too late for me. I'm 58. And you exchange.
Yes, accent isn't a problem at all. I have no problem whatsoever understanding you. You sound fine. My grandfather came from Warsaw. My grandmother came from, I forget what town, but they spoke about, you know, they were talking during the war. They got out of there at the time. They escaped from the war, the big war. And one of my aunts didn't make it. My grandfather's sister was actually killed over there in one of the camps. We were Catholics, but, you know, they were getting everybody back then. So she didn't make it, and my sister was named after her, Christine. And they spoke about four different languages. My grandfather, he was from part of Russia, Poland that was annexed by Germany. My grandmother was from the part of Poland that was annexed by the Russians, so she spoke Russian and Polish, Lithuanian, and it was just amazing how the European experience forces you to survive under those conditions.
Okay. Well, Poland is beautiful. A little bit colder during the summer time. Much colder during the winter time. But it's a beautiful country. One thing you're going to notice is that houses are built much stronger, much better than in the United States. They don't really care about the houses being pretty, but being strong and nicely built. When you fly over to Poland, you're gonna see the beautiful red roofs. It's typical for Poland. They don't like junky stuff that is in America. Usually it's a ceramic, and you're gonna see plenty of it. Red color, I don't know. In my time, there was not much of red color ceramic on the roof. Also, the roofs must be very strong to support ceramics. They don't use wood over there. Concrete, brick, and modern technology for building the house. Back to you.
Yeah, it sounds very nice. Nothing like a solid home, right? Using those good materials it always makes a classy looking home. I can't wait to go, actually. Yeah. So it would be probably 2017 I'll be doing it. Okay, back to you.
Okay. What I would suggest you to do is, either you have a rotator and you could have a Yagi antenna, and that would let you very easily tune to the repeater, or just increase your power. Once you have a good reception, increase the power, and this way you will be able to talk to us. And welcome to the club. John.
DC2 WGB. Yeah, I live in Staten Island here in the ghetto, and I'm lucky I speak English, so I don't have all those benefits. Pod, over to you, sir.
You didn't answer my question, John. If you let the gerbils take over, it would solve the problem. Or do you disagree, John? And then when you kick it back to me, I'll say hi to everybody.
I've never met a gerbil with a solution to a toothpick. Never mind anything complicated. No. No gerbils. Back to you, Todd.
Thanks a lot. I hope Cookie nips you for that one. By the way, Ken, there's no courtesy beep, but try to give the repeater a moment. And always good to hear Wesley. And since you're talking about Poland, Wesley, where the heck is a town or city named Pakula, P-A-K-U-L-A, I believe, is the westernization of the name. But where approximately is that in Poland?
You gotta tell me exactly what is the name, because your pronunciation doesn't ring the bell. Back to you.
Pakula, P-A-K-U-L-A, is the only way I know how to spell it. I don't know if it's Pakula, Pakula, Pakula. Gotta sort of translate, but Pakula, that was the name.
Pakula sounds like a last name of the person. Doesn't sound like a city. Never heard of it.
Okay, well, I'm asking because I learned about it through a name, and I noticed that you said Ken could write you an email. You haven't given me permission to send you an email. I would have put that in an email for you, but okay, it might be, Pakul was the name, and they just put the A on the end to make it more like a name. I have no idea.
Pakula is a popular last name for the people. There is no city Pakula.
Okay, then perhaps I was misinformed. I only know what they told me, and there you go. So, like I said, I would have put it in an email to you. Oh well. I will then flip it back over to Ken up in Cold Spring with his 2900. Whoops.
Ken, how much power do you use?
I've got pushed to the limit, 75. You want me to try to turn it over?
Yeah, you're breaking a little bit. What's the big deal? Get the smaller amp or... Just get the QLMS Yagi.
Yeah, I didn't get what you said. Did you repeat what you said? I should put a Yagi antenna and I could aim it towards your direction, is that right? Or the direction of the repeater? Over?
Yes, it is. You got a directional antenna and then you're gaining a big time. That would be even better than increasing the power. John.
KC2 WGB. Yeah, Yagi antenna might help you out. But, you put a Yagi up, you're going to need a rotor. So, maybe something you have to do down the line. But to it.
Hey, look. John, he has got a good setup. And he looks like he really cares. So once you do it, he's done. I mean, how much pain it is? $200? $10.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yagi antenna sounds great. You got to get a rotor, so there's an expense for that. But I can definitely see that in the near future getting that pretty good. You know, pretty good setup those Yagis, I heard.
Well, with that what you already spent and that what you have, there is nothing compared to how much John spent for his equipment. He's got a really good setup. We both opted for Kenwood 2000. We love those machines. John has probably three or four. I have two of them. And I believe Todd, you have Kenwood 2000 as well, right?
KD2CBB.
Yes, I opted for the 2000 as well. Ken, if you went ahead and moved the antenna up another 10 feet, probably do better. If you got the 2000, then you would have just a little more audio. Well, yeah, way more audio. And you would probably hold it also. Instead of the 400, if you've gone for the 600, you probably would be doing a little better as well. Like I said to you, if you had called me, I would have run down your options and the pluses and minuses of them. So, but I think at this juncture, if you raise the antenna up a little higher, I think you're on a 10-foot or a 5-foot, I forgot. Raise that GP9 to with a 20-foot, do better. And that might be all you need right there. The 2000 will give you 100 watts on VHF, by the way. But it has more audio, which is really adds some more punch. Right, John? No, not right. Disagree, John?
Well, I think he's doing fine with the radio he has. The distance he's communicating, I think all he needs is a Yagi, a rotor, and he's all set. I think he said his elevation on the antenna is 20 foot. He has a 20-foot mast on it now, I believe, so I don't think he can go up another 20-foot reasonably.
That's right. You don't need more mast. Apart from that, if you have a curvy structure, you might find that even though that you are 20-foot higher, you might have less reception in particular direction than if you your antenna is directly on the roof. John?
Yeah, well, you know, he's up about as high as he can go reasonably, so I think that's his best thing right there. No more effort should be put into going any higher. Maybe he's at 5 foot. Yeah, of course you go up higher, but I believe he said he's on a 20-foot mast. Todd?
Net tonight at 8:30. This is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
As usual, I get the ad. And I have another obligation at that time, so I won't make the net. No, I think it's just a couple of, shall we say, splitting hair issues. If he had maybe 5 feet with that antenna, and if he had gone for LMR 600 or hardline, that much more, and then the extra audio power, not the wattage power, the audio power. I think that's all we need. The Yagi and the rotor will work, yes, but I don't think it requires that. Will it work? Oh, absolutely, Wes.
Thank you for visiting the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Well, actually, I have a problem with that data. There is no such thing like extra audio. You either have a signal or you don't have a signal. You either have a strength of the signal in dBs, and that gives you all of the properties that you're looking for. Or you don't have it, John.
Okay, well, I'm going to turn it over to Ken. He can describe to Todd exactly what he has up there. Maybe he can correct it. I think he said he's already using LMR 400, so, and that's excellent stuff. That's all I use.
Yes, my setup is, I've got a chimney on the side of my house, and that chimney, I have a raised ranch, so that the roof has a very low pitch to it. You know, it's flat, almost very mild pitch, the top of the chimney itself is probably a little bit higher than the peak of the roof. So, to the side of that chimney, I have a 20-foot mast, and that it's strapped, you know, with aluminum, with stainless steel straps to that mast. So the bottom, I'd say 3 feet of that 20-foot mast is held onto that chimney with straps, and it goes up. So you have 17 feet from the top of that chimney, right? And then the antenna itself is 14 and a half feet high, so then you add that onto it. And so if you were to measure the tip of the antenna to the ground, grade of the house, probably about 50 feet, something like that. If I added more mass to that, I could actually have a 5-foot section extra sitting there that I was thinking about doing, but I think at that point I would need to put some kind of guy wire system to hold, you know, and it'd be kind of odd. I don't know how I'd have to put some long guy wires from the mast all the way down to the ground on one side, be a long wire, and then somewhere to a couple of points on the roof. I didn't want to go with the guy wires. Well, maybe I could do an extra 5 feet without the guy wire. I can always check it out. And then I have a total of probably 75 feet of LMR 400 that comes down from that antenna and works through my attic and down to my little ham office shack I use. So that's my setup.
Now let me have it. From the receiving part, what is important is signal-to-noise ratio. So, sometimes you might go lower 5 feet and you find out that in this particular direction, especially in the mountains, you have better reception than if you were elevating the antenna for another 10 feet up. As far as the transmitting part, if you don't have a problem with the receiving part, in other words, during a year period of time, you still have a good reception, or you need to just increase the power. Unless you want to go with a few elements of Yagi on 144 megahertz, and this way you actually gaining both. Now, there is no such thing as extra audio power. That will come through the antenna, gives you the quality of the signal, which means a signal to noise ratio. John.
Well, you're only allowed a certain amount of deviation, so audio, no. I know what Todd is trying to say. The Kenwood audio is well done. It does sound good, but it's not more powerful. It doesn't do anything to help you. I think if you went to a 7-element Yagi, that would give him a tremendous signal into this repeater. I don't think you have any problem at all. Ken?
Yeah, that sounds good to me. The question I have is, so the Yagi antennas, 7-element antennas, would be used mainly for the VHF and UHF, correct? So if I went to, eventually, when I get the HF rig, that's when I have to start swinging like antennas or stuff like that. Or do I, can I still use the Yagi for the HF? Over.
Well, let me respond to that.
You're going to get different antennas for HF. You're going to get a dedicated beam, which can be for UHF and VHF. You could do that. But I think with what you're doing, a little 7-element VHF antenna should be fine. When you go into HF, you're going to have to run some long wires, maybe some, maybe a Windom or a G5RV, things like that.
Yeah.
Reception. You guys are just, like, absolutely, like, fantastic. It's, like, as good as anybody I talk to on, even though there's a, the Mount Beacon repeater is, like, 1.8 miles from my house, the one that's behind me. I told you I'm the south side of a mountain, and the Mount Beacon repeater is just north of me on the other side of the mountain. Just, you know, I can't see it from here. South is the signal bends over the mountain. You guys sound as good as talking to people on that. I mean, whatever you're using is just amazing.
Well, if I crank up my power, you would probably be able to hear me on the input.
You can, John. I've already done it.
You don't live where I live.
Is that an invite? Oh, wait, no, you don't like gerbil with squeaky wheels.
Yep, then you can pass it to Wesley after. What are you talking on right now? I'm just curious.
I have a Kenwood 2000X that I'm using right now. And it's available. I can get 100 watts out of it, and my elevation's fairly high, so I might be able to talk to you direct. I don't know. Do you know how to go over to the input?
Look, John has 3 or 4 Kenwood 2000s. Talk to him, and he is probably gonna be happy to have one less of them. I mean, this guy is amazing. Everybody from us have. Kenwood 2000, Todd, me, and John. Ken.
Kenwood 2000, does that cover all the bands? Is that just a dual band, UHF, VHF, over?
All mode, all band, and John, you can do it with 50 watts, 60 watts, you know, here you want me input, trust me.
The 2000 is an all-band, all-mode receiver, but it doesn't cover 900 and it doesn't cover 220, but everything else it does.
I wouldn't be interested in those bands anyway. Somebody was telling me about, and I've heard, I've actually seen this thing at a ham fest, the Yaesu 857D. What do you think of that one? Over.
Ken, I don't have one of those. I have a couple of Yaesus, but nothing like that. But I do know people that have them, and they like them, and they do well with them. But I have no personal experience with a direct hands-on.
Ken, KD2CBV, I mentioned that to you. If you want something small, then, or something you can transfer to the mobile, then that's something you should look at. If the TS-2000 does more, and that was something I also mentioned to you.
Thanks, Todd. Yeah, I'm leaning towards getting that Kenwood 2000 would be my next piece of equipment. I could leave that as a base and move this Yaesu into my car and leave it there. Yeah, I mean, that's my next thing that's got to fit into my budget.
You're a ham. You're going to go broke. Ask Wesley.
Ken, can you listen on the input and see if you can hear me?
I'm not sure what you mean by that. You're talking about, like, going, what do they call that, direct? Hold on one second. Explain to me that on the input.
Okay, with the repeater, you have a transmit frequency, which in your case is 146.250. You have a receive frequency, that's 146.850. If you tune your receiver to 250, I wonder if you can hear me.
Okay, I can try that right now. You want me to try that?
Actually, all you have have to do is hit the reverse switch, and it should switch it for you.
That's a EWREV, right?
Affirmative, and he can hear you, John. Try 50, 60 watts.
That was F.
Just let me know when you're ready.
Okay, I'm you ready to go? Hold on. Wait, let me make sure this is the right button. Hold on. Okay, that's the button. You want me to him?
Yes, go ahead and I'll transmit.
Okay, here you go.
KC2WGB, Staten Island, New York. I'll copy. KC2WGB, Staten Island, New York.
I could not hear you.
KC2WGB, N1KBY.
N1KBY, KC2WGB.
Hey, good evening. Name here is Jeff. Just wanted to jump in real quick. Heard you guys discussing your 2000s. I've got a couple of them. One of them is an X model. I was wondering, you mentioned you had the X. You ever run into PLL on lock on those when you're trying to get up to 1.2?
No, I haven't experienced that. Now, you have a problem with it occasionally. It unlocks or it locks?
Now, the radio works fine on all bands except for 1.2, which I only found out relatively recently when I finally went and got a 1.2 antenna. Went to go use that band, and what happens is you select that band, the display frequency disappears, and then UL for unlock. There's a little bit of mention on the internet of some remedies, but it's kind of vague, and it mostly deals with the 440 frequency band. I was just curious if you'd ever bumped into that problem, that's all.
No, I haven't experienced that, and I have three of the 2000X models, and I have one of the just the 2000, and I haven't had any problem with the PL, but a phone call to Kenwood might work for you out in California. Maybe they have some information on it.
Yeah, I did. They didn't care. They just said send it in for service, which I may very well do. But I figured it was worth a shot. All right, I'll let you guys get back to it. KC2WGBN1KBY. Thanks.
Jeff, KD2CBB cleared.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, it's Todd in the East Village. I'm curious, when you called or spoke to someone at Kenwood, by any chance did you talk to Leo? If not, who did you talk to when you inquired about that issue?
Yeah, I did talk to Leo. He was somewhat sympathetic, but was hesitant to, I guess would be the word, to offer any real meaningful insight. He said, oh, it could be a variety of things. And I tried pressing him for what some of those variety of things would be, but wasn't able to extract anything out of him.
Yeah, he doesn't like to be pushed, but... Okay. Yeah, I was just curious. 3 years now with Leo. Yeah. Okay. Much appreciated. And I hope the rest of your weekend goes well. Thanks for stopping by and hope you join in more often. KD2CBB. John, you want to go back to the simplex and how many watts did you try?
I just went on the transmit frequency. I didn't try to go to any simplex frequencies. I was staying on the repeater. And I take it he didn't hear me because I didn't hear a call back.
That's correct. I didn't hear you. I gave him about, I don't know, about 30 seconds on that listening, and I didn't hear anything. So I guess, this pattern's not going to work.
Okay, Ken, you heard me with 50 watts. Actually, a little less. But try to transmit back. You can't seem to quite make the trip back. So I don't know, but that wasn't with the 75 watts anyway. Try it again, John.
Well, he didn't hear me, so it's not going to work, Doug.
By the way, by means of interjection, I don't know where you are, but I can hear you just faintly up here in Hartford, Connecticut.
KC2WGB, if you're hearing me, I'm in Staten Island, New York, about a mile west of the BC Bridge.
Interesting stuff. Todd, for your knowledge, for your information, you could have a guy who is from the other side of the hill, only 100 watts from his Kenwood 2000. You're not going to be able to hear him. And you could have another guy who is 200 miles away, and you're going to hear him perfectly. That's how it goes, Todd. And to next year.
Remember when you used to buy a bottle of soda, and when you took the cap off, there was a piece of cork inside?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I remember that cork.
Well, you must be old. 74. I remember a lot of things, including horses.
N2HOH with a suggestion for the station, if you're still there with the 2000.
If that's directed to me, I'm still listening up here in Connecticut, N1KBY. Name is Jeff.
Okay, Jeff, this is Andy, N2HOH, Woodhaven, Queens. Good evening to all. I was going to recommend that you BC the connector from the 1.2 gigahertz module to the board, and that may work.
Oh, okay. So you're suggesting just to simply pull it out, reseat it, give it a better connection?
Jeff, did you also try a reboot?
You mean a factory reinitiate?
Yes. Yeah, that's what I meant, a factory reset. Did you try that?
Actually, I sent the damn thing down to Kenwood Factory Service for an unrelated problem, and they brought it back to me wiped, so I know that that had been done. So regrettably, that didn't work, but I like the idea of reseating the 1.2 module. I don't know why I didn't think of that. That's a simple thing to try.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, that's why I suggested it, because that would be the absolute first thing I would do if I had that problem with that radio.
That's a good idea, Andy. Again, I don't know why I didn't think of that. I will give that a try, maybe even tomorrow. I'll let you know if it works. Thanks for the tip. I'm going to go back to listening and let you guys pick it up. N1KBY.
Alrighty, I'm glad I was possibly of some help, but be interested to hear if that works. I should be around tomorrow, if not the next couple of days after that, but if I'm not on, I'm sure John will pass it on. Very good. Good luck. N2HOH.
KD2ICB.
Yeah. There's one thing about this ham hobby. It's killing me. The hours are killing me. I could get lost in this. I'm way past my bedtime, so I got to get up and do something. Where I got to go to my mother-in-law's birthday party tomorrow morning, first thing in Newark. So I'm going to be signing off. Really, really enjoyed the conversation with everyone tonight. Appreciate your help. Let me know when, I guess you guys get together basically Sunday night, something's right at 8 o'clock. So I can look forward to that. And 73s, everyone, have a great night. Wesley Dobranos, and this is KD2ICV going clear.
Ken, you forgot to ask Andy what kind of radio he has.
Who is Andy? That was the guy that was giving me assistance? Over.
Yes, Andy H.U.H.
What's the relevance of that?
There is none.
The terrible, John. Don't keep reminding him. Andy, tell him what kind of radio you have.
Oh, okay. Just for you, Todd. Again, this is Andy. N2HH. Nice to have. Useful hams. Woodhaven, Queens. I have FT847. I have a couple other radios. I have a TS2000. And I do not have the X model, but I actually installed a 1.2 gigahertz module inside a standard TS2000.
Yeah, well, what I suggest is for the people who are not DX guys, who don't want to spend the time for contests, it is good to have a Kenwood 2000. And this thing is giving you all of the pleasure in all of the bands. You have 1 week and you can play with it. The good suggestion is I have one Kenwood 2000 that I'm using with remote control. And that's the mobile version. I found mobile version to be much more comfortable because you don't have radio on the table. Especially when I have so many computers around and so much stuff around. My Kenwood 2000 is underneath of the table on the shelf. And all I have is a small console that I can put anywhere I want to. Even on the top of my head if I want to. It's a small one and I have a mic, so I found extremely comforting, Ken.
That's the RC2000, Wesley. That's what I have, too.
This is Ken. I think I'm going to narrow my focus to concentrate on getting that 2000. It sounds like a great box, you know.
Well, John has always the best of the best, so he has all of the bands, including 1.2. John, does the Limer repeater have 1.2 also?
Yes, they have 1.2. They have 220 also, and a bunch of others. I think we have 5 or 7, something like that.
Now, if you were to go to 1.2, can you talk to us?
Oh, well, not now. My antenna's down. I took it down before the winter. And I haven't put it back up yet. I'm going to get a little height on it. And I also, you know, this thing, it only puts out 10 watts at 1.2. So I want to get a 100-watt kicker for it. And that's in the works.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it linked with the repeater?
Yes, they have a 1.2 gig repeater, yes. I believe it's in Plainfield.
Okay. There you go. But Ken, you might find out that 1.2 could be as comfortable as you sitting next to me. Ken.
Yeah, that's 1.3. Yeah, that would be amazing. Talk about 1.2. You talk about the band? 1.2?
1.2 gigahertz.
23 centimeters.
23 centimeters? Really? That's good. Very high frequency, right?
John.
1.2 gigahertz, yes it is. Well, it's not really high, but it's higher than we're using right now, yes.
Ted, you can go as high as 5.4, I believe. You got privileges up there, too.
You can go 10, 20, oh yeah.
Is that right?
Yes, it is.
There are plenty of options for you, Ken. Instead of playing with Yagis if you don't want to. I mean, if you want to, you're going to have extremely high gain Yagi for 1.2 with very, very small diameters and very light one. So there are plenty of room for you to play with and to exceed.
I can reach you guys Simplex from here on a Yagi on 1.2, is that what you're saying?
Without a doubt.
John.
I'm not sure of that. When you get a Yagi at 1.2, it'll probably be around maybe 22 elements. But the Kenwood only has 10 watts. So you might be able to do it. I'm not sure. No guarantees on that. It's in Japan anyway. And there's no activity there. It's almost dead. Occasionally I catch a few people, but it's fun.
Well, John, look at the gain. Would you have 18 dBs, 22 dBs, depends what antenna do you have, and so what? This antenna is small, John.
Well, some of them have like a 10-foot boom, but they're only, you know, 6, 8 inches wide. So, you know, low wind resistance.
Don't forget to tell them about the cable who need to feed the antenna.
John, you have to remember where the repeater at Barry's Electronics was when I did 1.2 gigahertz.
No, I don't. Never knew where that one was.
I used to go for repeaters at Barry's. I think it was 25 or 25. I'm just not sure if there's enough on 1.2 gigahertz.
100 watts. It's not going to be really 100 watts. It's going to be sort of like you have a 100 watts with a gain. John.
Yeah, I didn't copy. You and Andy were talking at the same time. Almost a perfect double. Anyway, yeah, it's fun to try. So, you know, the Kenwood with the 1.2 gig module is a little pricey because the plain 2000, I think, is around 1400. I don't know exactly what the X is, but it's a few hundred more.
$19.99 for the X. I think it's $14.35 for the... without the X current pricing.
Thank you. People spent much more money for a few times just enjoying themselves in the city and to experience.
I have trouble getting tickets for the opera for that price.
One's in Vienna, John?
No, that lousy piece of junk we have in Manhattan.
Underground parking lot.
I have no problem with that. That's perfectly thought out. But the building is horrendously ugly. You know, when you look at La Scala, or you look at that, come on. And that's in New York. But the companies that play there, excellent. But the building sucks.
Park your car, then close your eyes, sit in your seat, and then open them again. Simple solution.
And a few hours for sitting in the restaurant, so what's the big deal? My suggestion is you're getting so much gain, and gain is translated to power. Eventually you have only 10 watts, but it comes like if you were to have 100 watts. You gain on directivity of the antenna. You may try it. You know, John probably know more of the area. I am not familiar with the area, John.
Well, Ken, as he goes, he'll make up his mind. You know, he's got a little research to do, and he can do some testing. Maybe monitor some of the 1.2 gig if he has that capability and see if it's active up there. Sure.
Now, what about the cable he'll need to use for 1.2 gig?
Well, all he's got to do is find out if he is able to hear the repeater. That's all, John.
As far as the cable, Todd, it depends on the length of run. He could get away with LMR 400 if it's a short run. Otherwise, he's going to have to go to 600 or maybe hardline, airline, something like that.
Yeah, for a 50 or 75-foot run, he's going to need 600 or hardline. He's going to do 1.2 gig because the losses will go too high on 400. Or am I wrong again?
Well, you have to calculate the loss and the length, so it could be an issue, but you don't know until you have the calculations.
I don't think we would have both of you guys.
The reason that antenna tuner